Welcome to the Cyclone Tailgate Show on News Talk 1430 KASI. Join us as we preview Iowa State's football matchup and visit with our special guests. The Cyclone Tailgate Show is brought to you by the Iowa State Alumni Association, Friedrich Iowa Realty, Ag Leader Technology, Freedom Tire and Automotive, Country Landscapes, and Northwest Bank. Now, here's your host, Mel Crippen.
That sounds strange to me. No, I didn't get to be the host. My former co-host, Dave Sproul, off to bigger horizons, ladies and gentlemen. And you'll hear him in a little bit here on the Cyclone Tailgate Show. But joining me, former Iowa State Cyclone punter, Judge Johnson. Judge, welcome aboard.
Hey, this is great. Really excited to contribute to the big Cyclones this year and have some fun with you guys on KSI. And, you know, it's great to be out here and see all the sights and sounds of the pregame and the tailgate experience and all that. So glad to be a part of this show this year.
Boy, they're anxious to get out there in those tailgating lots. I was noticing they had done some parking lot work around the Iowa State Center, the Scheman Building and Fisher Theater, et cetera, and CY. That is being utilized as tailgating, too. That was a little unusual to drive by this morning.
That's neat to see, and that's a great problem to have. And, you know, that's Jamie Pollard's vision, is to keep growing this tailgate experience and moving things around. And, you know, everybody's talked about the bridge, and I've seen a lot of good reports about the RV Village.
Is
really successful, and people are having a good time over there. So it's a great scene and a great environment, and Jamie and his staff do a great job of making it happen.
Well, there's none any better for tailgating, and I know I'm highly prejudiced in this Iowa State parking lot down here. It will fill up. The Cardinal and Gold will permeate this whole area out here, and now it's even been extended, as I say, out front of the Iowa State Center, et cetera. That used to be just kind of blank. That used to be a parking lot, and they improved that parking lot. And you mentioned the RV area down there. They've improved that, too. They have actually put in some concrete settings for the RVs to park on and have provided them with electricity.
Yeah, it's a neat thing. And when you see the drone footage of that new area over there, it is really neat. It's specially designed for RVs with the concrete pads. They've got grass in that they've been watering all summer to make that attractive for the lawn chair and sitting outside your RV. And they've got power out there and restrooms and nice trash receptacles and everything, just to make it clean and professional and really first class. And so it's neat to see.
Yeah, I noticed the other day there are less restrooms over here, but they made sure there were lots of hand washing stations. So I don't know what that indicates, but I thought that was interesting. Give me a feel as a former Cyclone from yesteryear, and you were under Coach Jim Walden. What was it like when you came into the tailgating section, when you guys came in on those buses and everybody was there to greet you?
Yeah, that was back 87 to 89, and I played for Coach Jim Walden for his first 3 years here at Iowa State. And, you know, we didn't have the Jacobson Building. We had the Olson Building. And, you know, you would pull up, and you just didn't have the scene that you did today. And, you know, we were coming off of Jim Kreiner's season prior.
Yeah.
And we were 3-8 in 87 and then bumped up to 5-6 in 88, and then we went 6-5. So we were kind of on a trajectory upwards, and so the crowds got a little bit better throughout my career. And, you know, they didn't have the end zone seating like they do today, obviously, and you know, the souk up and all that. But, no, it was a wind tunnel back then. And
were the lots paved then?
The lots were paved, yeah. And we did have running water.
Yeah, I do remember the first few years when those were just dirt kind of roads and lots out there. And
yeah.
They finally paved them. But, yeah, it has changed so much over the years since I've been here. But I obviously never had the perspective as a player what it was like. And fan support, that's interesting, too, as we talk about fan support. I don't know if that's grown over the years. I think it was always there. One thing I found out about Cyclone fans, even in the worst of years, they were there to support.
Yeah, they have, and that everybody talks about that, and you know, that's the neat thing about Iowa State fans. They're going to rally around this place, whether you're having a down year or you know a great year. And but you know, it's a commitment to come out here and buy your tickets and do this whole tailgating thing. You know, it's a full day, and a lot of people are invested, not only financially but time to come out and do that and really put on a good show on the tailgate scene. So it's neat to see.
I'll tell you what, I should have mentioned off the top, but I do want to point out this is our 14th year of the Cyclone Tailgate Show, and we're proud of that. And could not have done it without all the wonderful sponsors, and we've had some that have been with us for a long, long time, always supporting the Cyclone Games, and we are right here where we've been the last few years at the Cyclone Alumni Center. A little different, though, Judge. We aren't outside on the patio, and I'll tell you, I have to be honest, I'm appreciative of where we are, but I miss it.
Yeah, it is neat to see. We've got this great window. We're up high, so we can see the whole scene from the inside of this the Alumni Center. And this Alumni Center is a great addition to Iowa State. And, it's a beautiful building. And so we've got a really good high view today. But it is a little windy out there. That cold front kind of came through last night, and it's got a little bit of a fall feel this morning all of a sudden. You can see the flags kind of blowing out there in the tailgate area. But beautiful scene sitting up here with the sun shining on all the Cyclone colors.
Yeah, and it's a true Iowa State football day. That weather just makes you know it's football season. And, and I'm kind of glad that cold front went through, because they were predicting highs today in the 90s earlier. And no offense to the parking lot, but it's not air-conditioned. So you can put your grill away and actually cook on it if you want to on a good 90-degree day. We will be here every home game, 4 hours before every home game. And we want to remind you that the Iowa State Alumni Center is a great host for a lot of folks here. You can come, get yourself a catered meal. You got to register in advance for that. If you'd like to eat, but they have catered meals here before each game, and maybe importantly a cash bar. There you go. But anyway, we hope that you'll come by. We are up on the third floor, and one of the other reasons for that, Judge, and you didn't mention it, and I do appreciate it, is the fact that thrown objects can't reach us. Thrown objects can't reach
We're
us.
We're out of harm's way up here, Mel.
Yeah, we are, and that glass is shatterproof, they tell me. So, yeah. Your bullets will just bounce off, so there you go. We got lots of things going on today, and one, I guess, a football game.
Yeah.
I think they'd come out and tailgate anyway, but they're more likely to show up if there's a football game.
Yeah, there is a football game today here at 1 o'clock. So interesting opponent today, Mel. You know, it's an opponent that we don't know a lot about. They're from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Southeast Missouri State. Mm-hmm. And they've got a lot of newcomers on this team. The stat that's been bouncing around this
week. Kind of shocked me, but the newcomers.
50 newcomers on their roster this year. 43 of them are freshmen. And so there's been a lot of turnover there. They've had some success, nice success back in 18 and 19. They won their conference, but they've slipped a little bit in the last year or two. And so we'll see what kind of product they put on the field today with all these newcomers.
Yeah, the interesting matchup today may not be amongst the players, maybe amongst the coaches, as the Southeast Missouri State coach is a former assistant coach to our head coach, Matt Campbell. He was a defensive coach under Matt Campbell for a couple of years before he got the job at Southeast Missouri. So he may have a little bit of insight in there, but I'm sure Coach Campbell's aware of that too. So maybe a few tricks thrown in there or just playing some good old hard football. Now, how about those critics that would say, oh, man, this is really a cupcake team, you know, getting that off? I always say that's the best way to get off, and not necessarily a cupcake team, but a good challenge so you can tell what you've got on your team.
Yeah, it is, you know, and so it is considered a cupcake game or what I would call a paycheck game for Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah.
But, you know, Iowa State's got to start this season a little faster. That's one of the things that bugs, you know, Coach Campbell. And, you know, they've been slow starters. And so maybe this is a team that we can go out and dominate early and really get some confidence going and kind of roll through this game and do what we're supposed to do. And that's win the game handily. I mean, the point spread is one of the highest I've ever seen for an Iowa State game.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
It's pushing 38 points, you know, which is very high. So that's what everybody's expecting. I'm hoping Iowa State has a fast start this year just to kind of get out of that, break that mold of being a slow-starting team under Matt Campbell. And, you know, we'll see if today's the day that they can come out and really get going.
All right. Welcome to the Cyclone Tailgate Show. We're at the Alumni Center, and we're going to take a break before we bring back a guy that used to work here before we let him go, Dave Sproul, here on 1430 KASI. Show here at the Alumni Center. Judge Johnston, I'm Mel Crippen, and joining me now, my former co-host who has moved on from the local theater to Hollywood now, Dave Sprouse, sitting here signing autographs. And
look at that line of people now, just waiting.
I always used to get to call him Dave, Judge, but now it's Mr. Sprouse. Can we interrupt you a little bit here? They can still hear you coming up after this show.
Well, a little bit later on, yeah. So if you're not aware, I'm taking over this season as the engineer for the Cyclone Radio Network for every football game, which unfortunately precludes me from hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
That's good news, bad news situation.
I miss him already.
At its finest. Yeah. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So you'll hear me mostly at halftime, a little bit of post-game show. For road games, I'll be hosting the first hour of the pregame show as well. So yeah. I'm looking forward to doing all that. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and I want to say a big shout-out to you, Mel, for helping make that possible by kind of taking over the hosting duties for this show.
You deserved it.
And I want to thank Judge for stepping in and then helping you out.
I didn't deserve that.
No.
But, you know, it's one of those things. Judge, I want to make it perfectly clear right off the bat. Sproul hates kickers. He hates anybody that kicks.
They are my enemy.
I should have probably sat between you two.
Yeah. You know, we've already talked about that. There's a difference between kickers and punters.
Yeah.
You know, punters are more athletic. They're better looking. We've already had that discussion. So.
Yeah. Did he agree?
I'm glad we settled that. Yeah.
But anyway, Dave, good to have you here. And
thank
I
you.
Might also mention that Dave does not take enough credit for, and there may be a reason till he sees how this show goes, but he is the executive producer of our Cyclone Tailgate Show.
It's a fancy way of saying I call your guests.
Yeah, he makes all the connections. All I do is talk to him. But terrific show ahead today, and we'll miss you. I really mean that. But on the other side, we know that I'm not necessarily going to say you're in a better place, but the pay's better.
Yeah, there's that. I ain't going to lie. I think when it comes right down to it, the most important addition to the Cyclone Radio Network booth this season is literally the air conditioning unit they put up there.
Yeah, you're saying that John Walter is in seventh heaven now.
Yeah, John's loving it. He's loving it. I mean, you can imagine now the sun, you know, rises in the east, and the press box faces that way, and it's all enclosed and in glass, and you get that greenhouse effect, and it gets pretty darn warm in there.
Yeah.
But now that the AC unit, Eric and John are going to be at their absolute peak of their skills because of the comfort level that they're going to enjoy in the booth.
Well, the other side of that, and I know this is unknown, but John's getting older. And you got to put in some cool temperatures to keep them fresh.
That's right.
Yeah, he'll begin to smell a little bit when you get up there.
I'm not going to help with that issue either.
No, I know. You got to work with that guy. But anyway, so here we are. Anything? You walked the bridge.
Oh, yes. The famed new pedestrian bridge. Now, my parking spot is at the far end of the bridge there, the east end. So
you're practically outside Ames.
You're right on the edge of town. So it was super easy, obviously, just to get up and go over the University Boulevard on the bridge. And I tell you, the sensation that came over me as I was walking across, it was like it was basically floating on air. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how many things you have walked on that cost millions of
dollars. $10 million, but it's worth it just to get me across the street.
Yeah, it will be a great law enforcement. Anybody that's connected with getting pedestrians safely to the stadium are thankful for that bridge.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting to hear when I talked about with Dan Walter on Tuesday morning on your show. He said, you know, jaywalking really wasn't the issue, but it's the backups, the traffic backups at 4th and 16th Street along University that happened because you have to move so many pedestrians across the street so the cars sit there and wait, and he expects this will help alleviate some of that. So maybe getting in and out of the stadium for drivers will be a little bit easier due to that.
And anybody that knows the pedestrians in our wonderful city and at the university have continual right-of-way. Doesn't matter whether you're doing 60 miles an hour, they'll step in front of you.
I drive past campus on my way to work every day, and I can tell you,
it's a challenge.
There's not a great deal of respect for the pedestrian
rules. Commander Walter said, I don't know how to describe it for sure or not. I don't know if herds of pedestrians are the right word to use, but he was on target with that.
I think he's right, yeah. I mean, in a situation like this, it's very large groups of pedestrians. They gather together, you know, and they at the corners waiting to turn or waiting to cross, and you get a lot of people all at once. So hopefully traffic will move a little smoother now.
I had not checked. Is this marked off as a sellout game today?
I don't think it's technically a sellout. Earlier in the week, there was still, you know, less than 60,000 tickets sold. So yeah. I'm not sure if this will be a total sellout altogether. It'll be obviously a great crowd. They'll get close, I'm sure.
Do you think it's an opponent problem, maybe?
I don't know. I think, you know, the economy may be playing a role in that. They raised the levels for donors, you know, during the summer, and that might, you know, a few people might have not been able to afford to renew at the new levels. So yeah. That might have an effect, and maybe just not that many people are excited to see Southeast Missouri.
Yeah,
who knows?
Hey, be careful. You kicked over a judge's sign, got tickets.
Yeah.
You want to get in trouble right away. But I think it's going to be a tremendous crowd and a beautiful day for a game. And it should be a, I don't want to call it monumental, but a great start for the Cyclones. Any concerns for you?
Well, the biggest concern would obviously just be the number of newcomers, you know, coming in. Hunter Decker's obviously a quarterback is the start there, but you got a lot of production from your tight end position to replace, from your running back position, obviously. Losing a guy like Mike Rose on the defensive side. Greg Eisworth, those guys were, you know, big pieces of the puzzle for Iowa State last season, so they're moving on. So there's so many, you know, new names. Some of them we got to know a little bit last season because they were kind of part of the rotation on each side. Hunter got some playing time last season and even the season before. But we haven't seen what these guys can do as starters now, and that's the biggest question mark, you know, going into the season for Iowa State.
Yeah, I don't want to be a negative Nelly or anything like that, but it's Hunter's the one I'm worried about the most because I think he'll be putting a lot of pressure on himself. And, you know, you come in trying to fill the spikes of a Brock Purdy, who is one of the more successful, if not the successful quarterbacks we've had at Iowa State. And, you know, I think fans have to learn to accept Decker's style of football.
Yeah, his style, I'm sure, will be a little bit different. He's a bit taller, maybe has a stronger frame, so to speak, than Purdy. So I'm thinking he might run the ball a little bit more, like as designed runner or maybe on some zone read type situations, as well as, you know, he's got a big arm. He can really sling it downfield, so we might see more deep passes this season. But when it comes to nerves, now, if you stand across from Hunter and ask him about it, you wouldn't know that about to be a starting quarterback at a Power 5 conference school. He handles himself very coolly, at least when talking to the media.
Quarterbacks are a certain breed. They really are. And work under stress, whether you're on a bad team or a good team, and they are the whipping post most of the time, whether they're successful or not, that the fans will climb on the most.
Yep. So, you know, it's okay to let Judge ask a question.
Yeah, he's sitting here. He fell asleep. I didn't know.
You guys have got the mojo going here. So,
We have for years.
Yeah.
So Dave's right in saying, step in.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, you're talking about the crowd. We're slightly under a sellout. You know, you wonder if it's, you know, the Labor Day holiday weekend, too. That could play into it. But there could be some good walk-up sales today with the beautiful weather we have. And, you know, that it'll be real close, I think, and it'll be fun.
They'll be loud. They'll be going nuts. I mean, I think there is a lot of excitement for this team, despite all the familiar names that were lost. If you follow recruiting even just a little, and that's exactly how much I follow recruiting is just a little, you know that the Cyclones have been kind of climbing the recruiting rankings a little bit each year.
Absolutely.
And right now they're recruiting at the highest level since they started really keeping track of these things maybe about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the most interesting things about this is that you have a class of freshmen and sophomores, along with some, you know, juniors who've been waiting their turn as well. But guys like Cartavius Norton, who's a true freshman, or Will McLaughlin on the defensive side, you got some freshmen on the roster here on the two deep who have a legitimate shot at getting some playing time, who you know, might bring some excitement. But and you also have, you know, Eli Sanders and Deion Silas at the running backs. They're both. Well, Sanders is a redshirt freshman, and Silas is a sophomore, so those are some young guys. You got some new faces at tight end that you've heard about maybe in the recruiting process or you've heard Matt Campbell talk about. These are the guys who are really bringing in practice every day and pushing the starters. Well, now those guys are the starters, and we'll see what they do in that role.
Yeah. Are you? I know you don't make predictions.
Not a big fan of it, yeah.
Yeah. You think the spread's pretty close?
The spread, I mean, that feels like a big number. I saw it at 37.5 earlier this week. I don't know if it's moved at all, but boy, for any college football game, and I know it's a FCS opponent, and they're from the Ohio Valley Conference, which isn't quite the same as playing a Missouri Valley Conference opponent. It's not quite the same level, even at FCS. 37 feels like a big number.
Yeah.
So I don't wager on Iowa State games, or wager in general that much, really. That'd be hard to take Iowa State to cover in that situation, given that sometimes Iowa State, or most times it seems Iowa State has struggled out of the gate to start season, even against FCS opponents. But I would anticipate, it's not a prediction, but I would anticipate Iowa State should take care of this game handily, just having that physical athletic advantage on the field. Maybe not 30 points better, but the big thing for Iowa State, just come out and, you know, play the way you want to play, control this game, and just don't leave any
doubt.
Is
this a test they need right now, Dave? Because you're coming up against a pretty tough opponent next week.
Oh, absolutely. And this might be a better situation. You know, some of that slow starts, slow starts for Iowa State, they've played some really quality FCS opponents early, like in Northern Iowa. They put a good product on the field every year.
Absolutely.
Or a team like Louisiana Monroe was it a couple years ago that came in here and won? Well, they went on to have a great season. They're not an FCS level team, but
Iowa State's inspirational. Once they beat you, they're on their way, right?
Well, that turned out to be a much better team than most people anticipated going in. This is not that. This is a team you should easily take care of, and if Iowa State takes care of business, I would imagine a 20-point win is within reason.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes from there.
You know, is it a feel-good 20-point win when Matt Campbell assesses, you know, did we get some backups in? Did we control the line of scrimmage and fewer penalties and, low amount of turnovers and things like that? You know, that'll be determined. And, you know, is it a good 20-point win type of win, or is it an ugly one, you know? And so we'll know here at about 4 o'clock today,
It doesn't matter because you will learn. And that's what today is a learning experience. To see them in action against somebody other than themselves and see what they have picked up in practices and to see what they haven't quite picked up yet. And it's a matter of sharpening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say, sharpening the skills, sharpening the things you taught them, and getting ready for next week. You don't overlook this team. I'll tell you what, a loss to this team would be embarrassing, I have to say. And
that
I don't mean to knock them. They're trying to play hard, too. They're inspired. They're playing Iowa State. I mean, that's a good way to start your season, right?
Yeah. Well, the payday, too, that they get out of this.
Yeah, big payday.
Funds a lot of their electorate department. But anyway, I don't think Southeast Missouri is going to lack for motivation. I mean, this is a chance. A lot of FCS programs do this whenever they get the chance to play a Power 5 level school. They come out pretty fired up, and they want to prove that they're on that same level. So I don't think effort will be an issue for Southeast Missouri. Motivation won't be an issue. I don't think it'll be an issue for Iowa State either because with so many new guys out there, getting the first chance to play this season, the adrenaline should be pumping on both sides.
Sounds great. All right, we're going to have to let Dave go.
Work to do.
Yeah, he found employment. That's what we're glad for. And you can hear him later on today as we join the network right after this show. But right now, we need to take a break. In the wings, putting on his makeup, Jeff Johnson, president of the Alumni Center. And he will join us right after this break on 1430 KASI.
Big time.
Mel Crippen, Judge Johnson, and are you guys related anyway? I never asked. That Johnson name?
No, there's a T in my name.
You got a T
name.
In
We took
Johnson.
The T out of his name, so there's a lot more Johnsons than Johnstons.
Was there a reason for that? That's what I want to know. Who requested the change?
It's Johnson and Johnston.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Jeff Johnson, of course, president here at the ISU Alumni Center. How many years now, Jeff?
23,
oh my gosh.
September 9.
I remember when you got here.
Did you?
Yeah. I said, this guy's good. He's going to stay. And he was. You were an absolute delight.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
That was past tense. You said he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's okay. Yeah. But
he's gone from good to okay.
Look what's happened since you got here.
Well,
we're sitting in part of what happened since you got here.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a farm kid, and there's always plowing, planting, and harvesting.
Yeah.
And I'll always give credit to Jim Hobson for doing some incredible, incredible plowing.
Yeah.
This idea, preceded me, but again, over all those years of talking about this idea of putting an alumni center at the Iowa State campus, came to a reality. But again, to the past boards, Jim Hobson and the staff.
I don't remember much, but I will tell you this much. It's something you said to me first time you and I were out. Delivering lunches to businesses.
Yep, remember those?
That was fun. That was fun. But we're sitting in a car driving along and just having conversation, getting to know each other. And you said, no, I didn't go to Iowa State. I didn't go to Iowa State. But I will tell you right now, I can't think of anybody that is more true to this university and its success than you. You put your heart and soul in this, and you do have a degree from here now.
I do. I do. You know, it took a while to convince me that I didn't want to be called an adopted Cyclone much longer. And so in 2014, I got my PhD here. And but, you know, Mel, I appreciate the attention, but we've got a heck of a lot going on.
Are there other things going on?
There's a heck of a lot going on.
This building is busy early.
I mean, busy early. And what's crazy, it's 14 years. I mean, it's, you know, you were talking about the Alumni Center. This place has been here now since 2008.
Unbelievable.
And so this is the 14th year of Cyclone Central's. I think people know we're open 3 hours before kickoff. This is free and open to the public. I'll tell everyone, cleanest bathrooms you'll find anywhere on campus.
I'll attest to that.
And there's an automatic treat machine that's been added.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's been added by cookies, et cetera. So if you're looking for gourmet popcorn, you're looking for gourmet cookies, you're looking for snacks, drinks, milk, water, you name it.
I was headed to my car the other day, and I looked around and said, what the heck is
that? Yeah, located out here to the south wall in front of the Alumni Center right next to the bookstore trailer. So if you're looking for some gourmet treats, stop in and check that out. It's a new addition.
Speaking of gourmet, I will tell you what, those meals that you put on here,
you know what,
are top of the line.
Top of the line. And most important, though, is people have to remember, you have to register the week of the home game in order to qualify for
those. By Wednesday, is it?
By Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important. Today is an all-Iowa meal, so there will be tenderloin sandwiches, potato wedges, corn, salad, cactus bread.
Yeah.
I was thinking cactus bread. Wouldn't that hurt you? May do some damage to your tongue.
You know what? We're pretty phenomenal as an agricultural school. They're probably raising cactus here in Iowa now.
You know what? We do everything.
Don't we? That's for sure. I always like to know, because you always update us on membership. How are we doing?
We're doing good. Still second in the Big 12. And, again, as I've told people, Texas is number one. Not going to frown on it. That's a large population. But again, we remain second in the Big 12. And if you're not a member, you can do that online at isualum.org/join. And it's important to remember as well that we'll have the band here that they're being fed right
Step
now.
Show.
Step Show. And that will start at 11:30. So if you're interested in seeing that live, just be to the east side of the building off of the grand staircase that is sponsored by Northcrest Retirement Community. So we encourage individuals who are interested. They're always family and friends, but the band is one of the highlights of game day's activities.
Oh, I'll tell you what, you hear about it all the time. And I will say this much, we may not be as many in alumni, but we're one of the better bands in the country.
Oh, my God. Absolutely incredible. And then during homecoming when they're back, you know, the alumni
absolutely.
Just top of the line. You know, I want to make sure that folks who don't have a ticket today, and again, we need to sell this place out. I want to encourage you, if you're listening and you haven't yet made plans to be in Jack Trice, there's still the ability for walk-up sales. But for those of you who are listening from around the country, just remember we have 40 locations nationwide that are sports bars. So again, go to our website, just go under communities, look for networks, and you can find a local alumni club that has put together a game watch in their local community.
So we always talk about it, Jeff. You can go anywhere in this country, whether you're going to a game or you're just traveling. And they know you're from Iowa State. You're a friend.
I mean, it goes Cyclone Power.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's become a moniker.
I have something I have to do here in the very near future. now that I have a grandson.
Uh-oh, sign him up for the Legacy program.
That's exactly right.
And guess what? There's also now Legacy University.
Oh.
And so that's a new program that we started that allows grandparents or a relative to bring their child to a one-day kind of exposure to Iowa State and have a deep immersion into a particular academic program.
Mm-hmm.
They also go through a formal commencement where they receive their certificate of participation, but it's another way to introduce the university to the next generation of your family.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, once that grandson was born, he was going to be in the Legacy program, that's for sure.
It's incredible.
Mel, I'd like to add into Jeff, you know, it's not a coincidence that we're second in the Big 12 with our numbers here in our Alumni Association, and that's a credit to you and your staff and the vision, you know, across the campus academically, and Wendy's vision and Jamie's energy. You know, it's a collective effort.
It really is.
To really engage with the alumni, and I'm a proud Iowa State alumni. It really springboarded my career and my livelihood, you know, and I'm really proud to be a graduate of Iowa State University. And so it's neat to see the connectors that you guys make and all the neat people in our alumni base that really, like you said, the number of outliers, the satellite, you know, communities out there, cities that Cyclone fans can go and watch games and be a part of a Cyclone game day is really neat. So,
yeah, it's just incredible just to keep this family well connected. I always tell people at the end of the day, I'm a friend raiser. My job at the end of the day is not about raising funds, it's about raising friends. And so this association wants to create a lifetime connection of its alumni, students, and friends with the university and make sure that we're there for them however they might need the university, but also to make sure that they're there for the university and, more importantly, there for each other. As our new graduates move out into the communities, we don't exactly know where they're going to end up, but at the end of the day, we're in 152 countries, all 99 counties, all 50 states, so there's no way you're not going to run into a friendly face as long as you're wearing your Cyclone memorabilia.
I think the other side of that, the proof, is I have run across in the job that I do some folks that I get to interview, et cetera, and I'll say, where are you from? And inevitably, no matter where they were born, where they grew up, this school and the experience that is offered here, the complete of experience of an Iowa State education and all the ambiance that surrounds that, they said we're living here. We moved away when I graduated, and my wife and I both said, why did we leave Ames? Why did we leave that atmosphere? And I love hearing that.
I'm with you.
Because I'm sold.
Well, we're working on our next strategic plan, and this is probably not something you talk about on game day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give one stat from our early survey work that really should make the university extremely excited. And that is that 93% of those we surveyed said if they had to make their choice again, they would choose Iowa State.
That is
so horrible. That is incredible.
It is.
To say that if I get to make my decision again, I would choose Iowa State University.
Is so there that any better proof than that?
Oh, my God. If that speaks to loyalty, if that speaks directly to your concept of experience, that it was worthwhile, that it made a difference, that it propelled my life forward, it gave me a chance to understand my ethics, my morals, my contribution to society.
It's a true education.
A true education.
In all
areas.
It's
about the whole person.
It's not only in the classroom. It's outside the classroom,
And too. They speak very, very highly of Ames and Story County. And so, again, what I tell people always, what I found when I came here 23 years ago, is that it truly is a university community, you know. And so it's a partnership, and it's one that is really, really enriched by the experience that our students bring from their life experiences to the community, but they find that Ames also invests in them. And so that's important for us to also remember that it's not just Iowa State, that it's Iowa State and the Ames community.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a great cooperative effort in so many different ways. I want to forewarn some people today.
Let's hear it. Everybody stop what you're doing, Mel.
I'm telling you right now, I'm trying to control myself because
Hey, Ben!
There he goes. He's greeting the band as it comes in. But I've got to tell you, if you don't have your Iowa State merchandise on, you stop over here at the Alumni Center.
Stop by. And also, real quick, we have a new program called Activate Iowa State Happy Hour that's going to take place for 21 to 34-year-olds. That's going to take place in Des Moines on September 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. That's at Peace Tree.
This is Quentin Kroner. My dad was the first owner of Freedom Tire.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon info.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Mel Crippen, Doug Johnston here at the Alumni Center with the Cyclone Tailgate Show. I almost said Little Cyclone, but no, the Big Cyclone Tailgate Show. And I want to mention some of our great sponsors. Friedrich Iowa Realty, for more than 90 years, integrity, excellence, experience, and service are the values Friedrich's holds dear. Visit their website at greatiowahomes.com. And it's kind of good. You know, tell me if I'm lying, but the band's been coming in for 30 minutes. It's a big
line
band.
Never ends. And that's the power of the Iowa State University Marching Band. They are phenomenal. And, you know, we were fortunate to have them at Ames High a couple times during my athletic director career last couple of years. And they are so fun to watch. They're energetic, and they're just power in numbers.
You know, they enjoy themselves.
Yeah, they do.
The enjoyment just shines through them when they get out there. They love what they do, and I think that's why they do it so well. And when they're sitting in the stands over there, I don't think there's anybody any louder sometimes than the band.
Yeah, and they are. And, you know, if you can't make it to an Iowa State football game, I heard a little birdie was on my shoulder last night that they're going to be up at the Gilbert.
You might want to brush that off.
They're going to be up at the Gilbert High School football game here in approximately 2 weeks. So if you want to see them locally, and it's a cheap ticket, probably a $5 or $6 ticket into a Gilbert football game, they're going to be performing, I believe it's in 2 weeks. But
The thing is, you got to be careful on that. You want to get there early, because if you get into the Gilbert roundabout, you could be there for a while.
That Gilbert roundabout's a big deal up there, isn't it?
Frightens me. I stay away. But anyway, so here we go. Well, first of all, let me finish off by saying thank you to Jeff Johnson for stopping by and spending some time with us. He's a busy guy, especially on game days like this, but he has agreed to spend some time with us, and a lot of good information there. Now, speaking of good information, you are the expert on Southeast Missouri. You are the guy.
Well, you know, that's one thing I thought I'd do a little research on this week, you know, and like we've already talked about the newcomers. They've got a high-energy, high-passion coach, which, you know, he'll try to get into a chess match with Matt Campbell. And but those kids will be motivated coming up there. I was following their Twitter a little bit this week, and they're going to come into a stadium that's going to have 60,000 people screaming, and they want to come in and try to keep that stadium quiet. They want to try to hang around and pull off an upset, kind of like Old Dominion did last night to Virginia Tech. That's a big upset last night.
Well, and as we look at that, I have no idea of how big a school Southeast Missouri is.
Yeah, they're down in Cape Girardeau, so they're way down in the southeast corner of Missouri, so they're a long ways away. They did bus up, it looked like, on their social media accounts yesterday, so that's a long bus ride for them.
That's a big bus ride.
They're going to come out and want to keep that stadium quiet, and those guys are going to be fired up. But like we've talked about, there's so many newcomers, and it's first game jitters for a lot of young players for their team to see how they'll respond in a hostile environment, you know. And Iowa State's depth and level recruiting that's been happening over the last couple of years, we're just bigger, faster, stronger, and deeper, and hopefully that just plays out continually throughout the game, you know. And
I think it's interesting because, and I can't remember names, and I wish I could, but a couple of the Southeast Missouri
players were hoping to be recruited by Iowa State years ago before they began their football career. And so they were excited beyond the game. They were excited to get to play on the field out there and play against Iowa State. So.
Yeah, they are. And they're picked, you know, I've seen some picks. They're projected to be second or third in their conference. Mm-hmm. They've got 13 starters back, 7 on offense and 6 on defense. But I think the telltale sign for them is they've got a transfer quarterback in today. This will be his first game in their offense. And he was at Central Methodist University last year, and that's an NAIA school.
Yeah.
And I believe they actually played against Grandview last year, and he was the quarterback of that team that lost to Grandview. So
a lot of people lose to Grandview.
Yeah. There's no shame there. But he'll come in. He's played at kind of that NAIA level, so this is a big jump up. He's going to see faster defenses, bigger, stronger, you know, better schemes and things like that. So we'll see how he responds. He's a big, tall kid. He's 6'5". And they've got, you know, their best running back in school history, supposedly, in Geno Hess. So, but that's, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage, you know, and can our defense neutralize that running back and his offensive line and keep him at bay today?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the offensive line intrigues me as far as Iowa State. It's going to be a different makeup than it has in the last few years, and there may be a few jitters on that side, too, as they get up in here against... And I don't mean this demeaning. Please don't interpret it that way. But against a lesser team, what would be construed as a lesser team, lesser skilled, but you still got to get in and do your job.
Yeah, you do. And yeah. You mentioned the offensive line. I feel a lot better now as you've seen Matt Campbell's recruiting and the depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're potentially down a starting lineman today, you know. I've heard different reports that he's back. But, you know, missing a lineman now is not, you know, scary like it has been
like
in years past.
Be.
You
yeah.
know, that would our depth is so much better. Coach Myers does a great job with them. His energy's great. You know, I know Colin Newell real well, and Collins graduated last year and was an all Big 12 type of center, you know, for Iowa State. He's a former Ames High kid, so I picked his brain a lot. And so they're cohesive. They've moved Trevor Downing over to center. Trevor's kind of like the leader, you know, of that offensive line. So there's a lot of confidence and depth in that offensive line now.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I talked to Collins' mom, Vicki, yesterday, or Thursday, and she was there. I asked how he was getting along and stuff, and I found out via that there's a couple of games you won't be with me on, but my sidekick's going to be.
Yeah, Colin Newell will replace me here later in the season. I've got 2 conflicts this year, and so Colin has graciously offered to come in and do what I'm doing today. Yeah. And so it'll be neat to get his perspective as a recent player and also a recent player under Matt Campbell. And he can talk and talk about Matt Campbell and what it was like to play for him and offer that insight.
And one of the things that it did for me was make me realize how old I am, because I watched that from the time he was 5 or 6 years old and growing up, and I guess I take a little personal pride in knowing him and how hard he worked for what he did, and of course, from a good family, and we'll miss him this year, but, you know, I say this about every sport there is. It seems we get great players. We're lucky to have great players, and each time they graduate or move on, the big question mark in our mind is who's going to replace him? How can we replace him? But you know what? The coaches in their recruiting, et cetera, have always found somebody who was up to the job.
Yeah, and that speaks to Matt Campbell and his staff that are just they're tireless out there in the recruiting world. And, you know, if you watch our rankings each year, they just keep trending up, and that's good to see, you know, and they're aggressive out there. And we're getting kids now that have big-time offers from other major universities, and we haven't seen that consistently in years past, you know, and so that tells you our caliber of recruit is improving.
Well, I will tell you what, it has been fun to watch the recruiting. We don't put much store into preseason rankings. I think we've been ranked a little low this year. I know there's a lot of question marks, but I have to believe in Matt Campbell and that coaching staff and the fact that I feel they get the most out of any player out there. They get more out of those players than those players knew they had.
Yeah, and Matt's got a great staff. It's a deep staff, and you know, he's got to surround himself by good people. He can't do it all himself. And so you kind of hear through the Colin Newells and the Trevor Downings that, you know, the support staff is just as important as Matt Campbell. You know, he's got the vision, and he's the motivator, but it's the day-in and day-out people, the strength coaches and the athletic training staff and the academic tutors that are all... They're all in sync, and they want Iowa State to be better, you know, from A to Z, and not just on Saturdays, but collectively as a student athlete at Iowa State. And so there's a lot of good energy there, and I think this season's going to be fun. The expectations are down a little bit based on where they've been, and you wonder, were the expectations too high last year? And, you know, it's all about staying healthy and your team chemistry and your senior leadership and, you know, catching some breaks with your schedule to have a great season.
Yeah, your belief in yourself. And Matt Campbell, the thing he does so well is develops a full character. It isn't just football. It's your character. It's what you carry out on the streets as well as on the field. And I like that kind of development and the full feature. I'll tell you one thing he might be jealous about, though. He might be jealous that a lot of the time, John Haycock gets more TV time than he does.
Yeah, the defensive guru, Coach Haycock, yeah. He's well known across the country now, and there's a lot of schools that come in and learn from him. And, you know, there's big schools that come in, the Clemsons and the Texas A&Ms, and, you know, there's been some other big-time power football programs that are coming in and sending their defensive staff in to learn from him. And so I'm so glad he stays. And that's another thing, Mel.
Yeah.
You don't see a ton of turnover with Matt Campbell's staff.
No.
That speaks to his leadership of his assistant coaches, the continuity that breeds, you know, within the program. And that just makes me feel good that, you know, I'm sure Coach Haycock could go coach somewhere else for a lot more money.
Yeah.
He's probably turned down some offers, but it speaks highly to Coach Campbell.
He believes. He believes. And that's a big phrase, believing in your team and what they can accomplish and what you can do to help them accomplish that. Want to remind you that you're listening to the Cyclone Tailgate Show. And we're going to be here for another hour before the network picks it up, with 2 hours before the game. And let me again recognize one of our great sponsors. That's Freedom Tire and Automotive. Freedom Tire is a leader in offering name brand tires, auto repair, and brake services with locations on South Duff and around Central Iowa. And also, may I mention Country Landscapes. They have the experts you can trust for complete custom landscape design and installation. Country Landscapes, distinctive landscapes since 1991. And as I mentioned, we will be back after 10 o'clock and bring you more Cyclone Tailgate Show. We have more guests coming in. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about some other things surrounding the game today. And share them all with you here on the Cyclone Tailgate Show. So, stay with us. Enjoy the news if you can. And come back, because we got a lot we want to share over the next hour with you on the Cyclone Tailgate Show.
Welcome to the Cyclone Tailgate Show on News Talk 1430 KASI. Join us as we preview Iowa State's football matchup and visit with our special guests. The Cyclone Tailgate Show is brought to you by the Iowa State Alumni Association, Friedrich Iowa Realty, Ag Leader Technology, Freedom Tire and Automotive, Country Landscapes, and Northwest Bank. Now, here's your host, Mel Crippen.
Thank you, and joining me, my co-host, former Iowa State Cyclone football player and graduate, Judge Johnston. I got the T in.
We got Johnston. Too many Johnstons this morning, Mel. So.
Yeah, it's like some names I get, some will have an S on them and some won't have an S on them. And I always like to make sure we get it right. Anyway, welcome back to hour number two, and we are in the Alumni Center. They are hosting us, not our normal position over the years. And have I complained about that enough, you think?
Oh, you've complained enough.
I've cut it, okay.
Yeah.
I love being down on the patio. But the nice thing is during this last break, we had some folks stop by the table here. Just wanted to see our setup up here. and tell us, kind of indicating they miss us down there.
Yeah, they do. It's that's a good feeling. So
and I feel good about that because I never bought them a beer or anything down there. You know, you'd think they'd be looking for me for something like that. I wanted to invite you here at the Alumni Center, where they will be accepting non-perishable items and hygiene products at Peachtree to donate to the Shop Food Pantry on ISU's campus. That's a student-run food pantry that provides confidential support to students in need. And they are just asking you to add some fun competition to the mix. This event falls during Beat Iowa Week. That I'm going to assume that's next week.
Yeah. It's a big week next week, Mel.
Yeah, it really is. And donations will count towards Iowa State University's total in the Rival Against Hunger Food Drive competition versus the University of Iowa. So, as usual, see, I'm not going to say unusually, we'll beat the Hawks again on the field and in donating food items. You don't have to register, but they'd love to know who's coming. The first 100 Cyclones to arrive on site are going to get a free koozie and a limited number of free drinking. What do you think the deal is with that limited number?
Well,
I mean, I know I get in line several times, but the whole thing happens there. Watch for more and activate Iowa State Happy Hour events in the Des Moines Metro this fall and into the new year. And they look forward, the Alumni Center looks forward to partnering with their area young alumni to bridge cyclone communities in the Des Moines Metro. And I always said next week's game, I don't want to get too far ahead here, but I used to go to a friend's house. He had converted his garage to a man cave, and they'd always invite me down to watch the Iowa-Iowa State game. It's hard to be the only Iowa State fan in a big place like that amongst them, and I have learned I could bear the harassment, and I had a few times I got to kick them back in the teeth, and I like that.
Well, that's fun. It's a healthy rivalry now. It's a fun rivalry, and it's competitive now, Mel, and that's the neat thing about it. And you know, we'll spend a lot of time next week, but you know, we got to get through today and kind of get this thing going and see what this new Iowa State team is all about and how they're going to respond today, and then Matt Campbell will probably hopefully enjoy it for about an hour if we do what we're supposed to do today, and then immediately it'll be, we got a big game with the Hawks.
I kind of feel less nervous today than I probably have for most opening season games, and I think a part of that, I'm going to give it right back to Coach Campbell.
Yeah.
It exudes the confidence that you need to get out there and make a difference. You know, one of the things you noticed, we were talking that the tailgate lot was looking a little sparse. I take that back.
Well, you know, when we showed up early to set up this morning around 8 o'clock, there were some openings out there.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a brisk wind out of the north today, but it's going to be just a nice, I think it's a perfect fall day with the temperatures and the cooler north breeze that'll be playing out. But, boy, that parking lot is filled in, and the sun is shining on it, and it's darn near full now, Mel, and it's neat to see.
It is absolutely neat to see. I love all the cardinal and gold that's out there. I have not, usually in a game or so, you see some Southeast Missouri flags or whoever the opponent is flying out there, but I would be curious to know how many of the Southeast Missouri fans would make that trip. It is a long trip.
It is a long trip, and, you know, this is prime real estate now. It's hard to get in this big main lot now, you know, Mel, and that's credit to our faithful Cyclone fans and this tailgating experience, and, geez, our food has just been delivered by the Alumni Association staff, and, that looks good, so.
Ooh, tenderloin today.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Corn, make sure you get your vegetables, right?
That's right.
Right, looking good here, so. We won't eat. We're going to go ahead and stay with you and talk a little bit more. There he is. Here he comes. Nick Jose, a longtime friend of mine. I mean, longtime friend, but I always love to see him. The only thing he's done, basically, is change his hair color.
It's right? Getting like your beard.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. The only place I can grow hair, Nick. Anyway, Nick, I tell you what, and when I say a long time ago, I remember, Nick, you were an intern in the athletic department here.
About 40 years ago.
Yeah, about 40 years ago.
You were running TV back then.
Yeah. Well, I was trying.
Yeah. I was trying. No, you did more than trying.
Well, I'll tell you what, and you were one of the great helps, no matter where, again. He was at Iowa State. He graduated.
That was my first job, yep. Yep. I've worked at about a third of the schools, yeah. So this is hopefully the last one. That's the way I want it to be.
A great, great fan, and that never changed. You have to change your attitude a little bit when you're working at another school, but you can always keep your home colors.
That's right.
Flying high.
No doubt.
Well, I'll ask you this. Anything new going on in your area?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Not a thing, right?
No, we got this thing called a bridge that is really,
yeah,
really
have
cool.
Have you walked it yet?
I've walked it a bunch. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And it's about a quarter of a mile long.
Mm-hmm.
There's 175, like, light fixtures on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and it's really cool. And we're grateful for the donors, anonymous donors, who helped make it possible. And it's really came down last night, about 8:30, and a lot of people on the bridge and really enjoying it and capturing photos and stuff like that. So really, really cool, great addition. And, you know, it's just another piece of the vision that Jamie Pollard has for Iowa State Athletics.
You know, it is going to make a better football team. We know that. But what it is going to make, a better environment and safer environment for all those fans that had to cross university, and it's just dangerous. No matter what you do to try and keep it safe, how many officers you put out there, fans will be fans. Fans come in all types of sizes and, more importantly, conditions, and that bridge is going to make it safe. It's going to make a big, big difference.
Certainly, safety is a big part of it. Also, really allowed us, Mel, to reallocate some of the parking by moving the RVs out of the Hilton Iowa State Center lots, give them their own dedicated space with electrical hookups, and that, you know, they're the ones that normally stay the longest, so it'll help get people in and out more quickly out of the Iowa State Center parking lots now that they are the RVs have moved to their own spots. So it's really cool. It's also, the bridge is open during the school year, so people forget that there's a lot of intramural fields over there for our students, and so they're able to not have to dodge cars when going to play intramurals as well, so they can just hop over the bridge as well. So really cool.
It was a huge endeavor. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can see it in the daytime, but if you haven't seen it at night, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's really cool at night. And that's what, last night, my wife hadn't seen it at night, and she's like, wow, that's really cool. So
it's impressive. It was fun to watch it go up, but the end product is well worth the cost.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What's next? What are we going to build next, Nick?
Well, we may have some news coming here in the next few weeks on what our next project might be, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Tailgate Show here at the Alumni Center. We are on the third floor overlooking the tailgate parking lots. And, Nick, let me apologize. We got a little bit interrupted there just as we began our conversation, but we'll survive.
Absolutely. The great ones adjust, Mel, and you are a great one. So.
Well, Nick, as we look out here today on those tailgaters, doesn't look like we're losing a beat out there. Even though some things have shifted around, that is still a pretty full parking lot.
Pretty full parking lot, and what a beautiful day. You know, I remember last year on this weekend playing Northern Iowa, and I think it was about 100 degrees. I think we're about 20 degrees less or so today, so it's going to be a beautiful day. 1 o'clock kick, just an outstanding day for college football.
Are you expecting, how do I put this in the right way? Are you expecting a huge game today? Obviously, we're within a, what would be called maybe a lesser quality opponent.
From a crowd standpoint, you know, I think we'll be 56,000, 57,000, somewhere right up in there. And, you know, just as you look out, Mel, and the parking lot here, and just the vibrancy of the tailgating scene and the loyalty of the Iowa State fans, it's just remarkable. And Judge and I were talking off the air because we were in school at roughly the same time, and just how far, you know, things
you
have come.
So much younger, Nick. Hey, now. Come on, Mel.
So, yeah. But, just how far, and Mel, you've been around the AIM scene for 40 plus years, and you've seen it too. Just
you're
the
so
change,
kind.
This how you know, just how it's changed, and the people still come, and it's just really, really cool. Where it's a special, Iowa State is a special, special place.
I've never questioned the fan base.
No, they're awesome.
Their support, if you're having a tough year or a great year, they have always been there.
Yep, absolutely.
And in your with you and Judge, some of the elderly alumni, let's talk a little bit about how things have changed. You know, you both have come through, and I'll drag us back into athletics, but come through quite a few different regimes. But I think that where we are now is right where we need to be. I mean, confidence, structure, civility, pride, it's all there. And I don't worry too much about next year.
No, and I think if you look at, Mel, there were two schools in the nation last year that ranked in the top 25 in per-game average attendance in men's and women's basketball, football, volleyball, and wrestling. Iowa State was one, and there's a school to the west about 180 miles that was in the Big 12 and the Big 8 a long time ago, and they're not anymore. That would be Nebraska. Those are the only two schools in the nation that have done that. And so it just speaks to the fan base and the loyalty that you speak of.
Well, and I can't go here. I'll get you a pay raise on this one. But Jamie Pollard was the prescription this university needed in that athletic director spot.
He was, and yeah. There's absolutely no question. He brought a vision, and he's continued to build upon that vision and to expand that vision and to always do what's right for Iowa State. And there's no – I've worked with 9, 10 ADs, and he is just very, very special, and I'm not saying that because I'm working for him now. I watched him as an alum from an afar when I was at different schools, and we took some of the ideas that he did other places and implemented them. And it's just he's always thinking, and he's got a great, you know, great vision of what he wants this place to be, and we're right on track. And I mean, you know, when Judge and I were back in school going to 5 straight bowl games, you know, what Coach Campbell's done, that was not something I don't think we would have thought possible, because at that point in our history we'd only been to 4 total.
Yeah.
And so a lot's changed.
And I will tell you, Jamie's vision is more than the university. And that's the thing. He has also embraced the community and in helping it improve. His thought of the shopping area over here in these parking lots. Here's the thing. Somebody says, well, if that happens. No, it's going to happen. That's the one thing I know about Jamie Pollard. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And looking forward to that. My wife personally calls it Pollard Plaza. But she says you just believe in Jamie and what he does. But not only that, that his vision isn't, how do I say this in the right way, not money-driven. It's an improvement for the entire community of ISU and Ames.
Judge.
And I'd like to say, you know, that's Jamie's magic that he has with him. He's a people connector. He's a relationship guy. You know, and I've talked to a lot of his employees that work under him, and they speak so highly of him behind the scenes. And, you know, so it's easier for him and his team to go out and raise money to take the next step and build the next thing. And, you know, it's not, you know, stressful. It's not nervous. Can we get there? It's when will we get there?
Yeah.
And, you know, what's it going to look like? And so that's neat. And then, Nick, I think, you know, Jamie brought a vision to take care of the student-athletes from Wisconsin. And Lindsay Long and her staff do an outstanding job of caring about our student-athletes, not only the current ones that are playing, but the alumni like me. And that's where I feel so connected to the alumni base. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a president of the Letter Winner Society and get kind of behind the scenes, you know, there a couple of years ago. And so Lindsay and her staff does a great job. And again, that's Jamie taking care of his people, and that's neat.
He is very much a people person. You know, we went through in the off season and we re-indexed the Cyclone Club giving. We could have gone and asked for outlandish things. We asked for what we need, you know, not necessarily what we want. And so that's, you know, that's him. During the pandemic, all of our coaches and staffs took pay cuts so that no one had to lose our job. I was at a previous institution during the pandemic where I had to lay off people. The worst thing I've ever had to do in my life. So I have great appreciation for what he's done and the culture that he has and that the coaches and the staff and the fans all believe in. And Mel, you're right. Pollard Plaza, as your wife calls it, you know, I think it'll get done. When it'll get done, don't know. But yeah. I agree with you. I think there's anything that he sets. He's an activator. Mm-hmm. He told me that when he interviewed me. And absolutely, after 15, 16 months, he's definitely an activator. And it's really cool because he's always thinking and he's always got, hey, what's next? What's next to make Iowa State great? And mm-hmm. and as you and Judge alluded to, it's not just about the athletic program. It's about how does it fit into the institution, make Iowa State better as an institution, and how does it make Ames better as a community.
And Nick, he's built a strong team.
He has. Great coaches up and down the board. We have great leadership with our senior leaders and all of our leaders in the athletic department, our department heads, and it's a really cool culture. It's changed so much since the Olson building, I can tell you that.
And Mel, I'd like to add, I saw on Twitter this morning, Jamie and some of his coaches, and Nick, you may have been, they were over in the RV Plaza last night handing out koozies and meeting and greeting fans and enjoying the first opening night of that. And, that's that connection piece and that relationship building that Jamie does a really good job at. And so he got to go out there and see it all, in fruition out there. And that was neat for him to be able to experience that.
No, absolutely.
Feel the reward. Developing that. And what I like about that, he could have been sitting home last night.
He could have been. And that's just the type of person
that's not him.
That he is, and that, he wants to be out and thank the people and, to be out with them. And that's what makes him special. And in this environment that we're in today, that's really, really important. You got to be a connector, and he is a great connector.
And I will say this much, too, is... as far as I'm concerned, in Jamie Pollard's eyes, and I don't pretend to speak for him, but there are no minor sports at Iowa State. There's, the revenue sports are obviously important for the importance of revenue. But the other side is anybody that plays in the non-revenue sports know that they are just as important. Their education is just as important. The benefits that they receive is just as important. There are no minor sports at Iowa State.
No, we try to invest in them, Mel, and make the decisions that will help all of them, be successful not only within the Big 12, but give them an opportunity, nationally. We had 13 postseason teams a year ago. And so just, again, and I think that speaks to, the depth of our department. But, again, how are we going to – we're going to hire the right coaches to lead our young men and women, and we're going to provide that opportunity. And as we've gotten into this new world of NIL, we've tried to identify partners that are interested in just more than football and maybe men's and women's basketball, and have got some deals on the horizon that incorporate all 18 sports and give all of our student athletes a chance to earn something in this new space.
Well, Nick, I will tell you right now is we thank you for taking some time on a very busy opening day morning for coming over. We always say this to you because I'm so glad. Welcome home again.
Thank you, Mel.
You do a terrific job. You were a great addition to the staff. And the belief in the athletic department and what they've accomplished and what they have ahead is tremendous here at this university.
It is, and we're grateful for you and the great folks at KSI that support us, and really appreciate seeing you again. It's been great to reconnect with you, and I'm
always
glad that your health is hanging in there.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. I watched that kid grow up.
He's turned out pretty good, Mel.
He's turned out great, and I would not have expected anything less of him. I will tell you that. I believe in Nick Jones. How about that?
All right.
I got you.
Thank
you.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Hope to have you back again.
I'll be back.
All right. Nick Jones, the senior athletic director at Iowa State, getting us filled in on some of the projects, ongoing projects, et cetera, that are going on. And we want to mention Northwest Bank, their commitment you can bank on. Located at 100 South 16th or northwestnw.bank. All right.
Well, fun fact for the day, Northwest Bank local current president is Doug Regalier, former Iowa State Cyclone under the Walden era, too. So Doug's doing a great job, and they've got a new facility here in town. And so Northwest Bank is doing a great job locally.
I'm going to have to charge him. All right, we've got more of the Cyclone Tailgate Show coming up. We'll get you some insight on Southeast Missouri again. And don't leave us. Please don't leave us. We'll be here.
Who's this nice guy standing here, pal? Who is this guy standing here?
Ha, I'm not telling you.
Okay.
It's a secret. You have to go through 2 minutes of break before we tell you. All right?
You're listening to the Cyclone Tailgate Show at the Alumni Center on 1430 KASI. Mel in the morning on 1430. Oh, wow, Mel Crippen, sports time. I don't get to be Mel in the morning. I have to be Mel Crippen right now in my sports name. Judge Johnston joining me as my associate, my sidekick, so to speak. And, of all people, Rob Gray ventured by, just happenstance, to walk by and said, Can I get a little radio gig going here? Rob, we're glad to have you.
Well, I was playing a few tunes on the piano over here in the Alumni Center and looked up, and there you guys were, and it just seemed appropriate.
Well, I couldn't get Judge's attention. He wanted to sing along.
I was that good, and I assume he's that good, too.
To
match it.
I think Rob's here because he saw the Tenderloin sitting
He's got the brandy snifters empty on the piano. I don't know what's going on. These people aren't appreciative enough. Rob, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Mel?
I am well. It's good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Good day for football?
Beautiful day for football.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, ideal. Little breeze. Yeah. Maybe play some games inside Jack Christ Stadium with that in terms of passing game. But I assume the Cyclones are hoping they don't need to rely on too much of the passing game against Southeast Missouri State. But just picture-perfect conditions.
It is absolutely picture-perfect, and I will say this much. It's an interesting starting game, as we've been talking about it all morning. Is it the perfect opponent for the first game?
Middling FCS program, I'd say yes. That is the perfect season opener. It's not Northern Iowa, who, of course, is...
Who scares us.
Well, beat Campbell his first year here. Yeah. Needed Brock Purdy to recover a fumble at the goal line to prevail in triple overtime a few years ago, and then 16-10 their last meeting. Yeah. So season openers have been an adventure. It's been a while since there's been a program that's, you know, SEMO has not been an FCS power.
Yeah,
I know that they feel like they're building towards that, but a very, very young team with a really good running back and a few guys dotting the skill position groups that are good, but a team that you ought to be able to manhandle with depth.
Yeah, and they'll need to.
Oh, yeah.
The thing being is I always look at these games scare me because SEMO's going to come in here wanting to get a win, a big win. Out there, and we were talking. I think they're picked second in their conference, to be honest.
Yep.
But they have a lot of freshmen.
Yep.
A lot of freshmen. But I also say the Cyclones have got some things to work out too. So, you know, you can bet that they have been studying the Cyclones well, and their coach, as I mentioned before, actually coached under Matt Campbell for a couple of years.
Yep.
As a defensive coach, and so he might be a bit savvy to some things to expect out there on the field.
Yeah, I think I get the sense that from covering the team throughout fall camp and even in the spring that Campbell and his staff know what they've got. Again, they've kept recruiting classes, have kept climbing the rankings. Some of these guys who we haven't seen much before who are going to be more in the spotlight today and moving up forward are guys that a lot of them were highly touted. I mean, you look at Blake Peterson on the D-line. I mean, he was a pretty highly touted guy, and he's a redshirt junior now, really finally getting his first real shot outside of special teams. And look at Hunter Decker sitting behind Brock Purdy for a couple seasons, you know, gleaning whatever he can from him, and obviously a four-star recruit out of West Sioux, very strong-armed kid, and can really move, too. So, you know, a lot of uncertainty, but I sense that the excitement overshadows the uncertainty, at least for the Cyclones within their walls, as Coach Campbell likes to say.
You can't have sat behind Brock Purdy that long and not have learned anything. And my understanding is that Brock has spent some time with Hunter, kind of giving him an idea of what made him so good. I don't think he got up there, I was this good because he's not that kind of kid. But he gave him some idea of things that made him successful.
Yeah, and I think it starts with the commitment part of it. I mean, Brock Purdy was going over what we call it film all the time now, where Campbell likes to say videotape evidence. I mean, it's neither of those things. It's all digitized. So I guess I'll just call it video.
Yeah.
You know, that study, I mean, I think he just got his habits right. And if you're going to compete at a high level, at this level or beyond, you have to have that baseline. And it seems like he has that. He has a quiet confidence about him. I mean, we interviewed him a number of times, of course, because he's a new starting quarterback. And in the spring, he seemed kind of like he'd just gone through media training. You know, he just he wasn't going to say anything. And as it's opened up towards the season, he's, you know, shared some stories about this and that. And you just see a guy who feels he belongs and is ready to show it.
Mel, that goes back to the senior leadership that Matt Campbell is now replacing each year, and the amount of preparation these guys are putting in when they're off the practice field with video work and their homework and taking care of their bodies and eating better, sleeping better. That's why we're having success, because these guys have bought into this vision. And, you know, the guys like Brock Purdy and some of the other stars that have moved on, they're committed to the whole process, not just the 2 hours that they practice every day, but it's everything. And so that it's paying off, you know. And good to see.
Yeah, I just like the idea. I think there are dangers in the success, in that, but knowing Iowa State fans, they'll go along for the ride as much as they can. But the expectations for this team might be, and maybe I'm overstating, exceptionally high. Do you think we as fans may be expecting maybe a little too much early on?
I don't really get the sense. I get the sense that the expectations are obviously far lower than last season, where you're coming off a 9-3 season and you beat Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl. Now, last season, of course, sort of played out as a worst-case scenario. I mean, they were favored in probably all but a couple of games.
Yeah.
And just whether it's a guy hitting a field goal at Texas Tech that he'd hadn't, I don't think he'd ever hit a 50-yarder. He hits a 62-yarder at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, West Virginia just getting caught flat-footed in that game early on and not being able to recover. You know, just a number of games where when push came to shove at the end, either the Cyclones didn't execute or they got hit by a bad break. And that tends to snowball together. So that, you know, that team that was highly lauded, and for rightfully so, and should still be, because they were in every game, pretty much. They went 7-5 in the regular season, and, you know, played a really good Clemson team and lost by a touchdown. I mean, it's kind of that bowl game was sort of like the story of the season. They're good enough.
Yeah.
They're good enough to beat anybody.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, it just doesn't quite happen as much as you think. So this team, I think, should be, if Campbell and his staff have built the program to where they believe they built it to, 7-5 should be the baseline. Winning season should be the baseline. And I think that's the expectation. Anything beyond that is gravy, so to speak, in a bad cliche, although I see the tenderloin there. It may be fitting.
He didn't offer you any, I know, Rob.
Well, I don't expect one to when you've got a nice spread like that in front of him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more than anything, they want to have a stress-free season opener for the first time in a long time. So
you'll still learn. That's the thing.
Yeah,
you'll look at the videos, as you say, and you'll learn. It won't be a perfect game, but the next game will be better and sharper. But
no doubt.
Yeah, and I've always blamed Matt Campbell for this. He came in here. He drew us in. We got so excited so early, and he was so successful. And my fear was always, can he keep it up? Can he keep going there? And we know Iowa State fans, as right and true as they are pretty quick to pull the trigger on people. I mean, they just they don't have the patience. And I'm saying, oh, he had a great year here. Is next year going to be down a little bit? How are the fans going to handle it? But I think now, as I said, it's his fault. He's been so successful. We expect perfection.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's their motto? Raise the standard, right?
Right.
And if they've raised the standard, then, again, winning season after winning season. I mean, in the modern era, you know, 5 straight winning seasons hasn't been done until Coach Campbell and his staff and his players.
Yeah.
I think part of what Judge mentioned, too, comes into play here. I mean, Campbell talks a lot about player-driven leadership being important. And you look at, even on his staff, you've got Ray Lima back as a grad assistant. You've got Kyle Kemp in the program for years as an assistant of sorts, a quarterback whisperer, if you will. Trevor Ryan on the strength staff. You know, Joel Lanning's done time in there. A lot of people. And you look back to the Lannings and the Lazards. Those were the guys who raised the standard, along with Ray Lee. A number of guys, obviously. You look back, Willie Harvey, Marcel Spears, a lot of people. And they keep building up that leadership. So now you had people like Eni Wazirike leave guys better off. You had people like Mike Rhodes, Jake Homily, Greg Eisworth, Charlie Kohler, Chase Allen, Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, who talks about five-star culture. You know, we'll see how it all bears out, but, I mean, these guys keep wanting to give back in the program, so you've got this burgeoning base of leadership and sounding boards that you can reach back even years into the past to bring young guys up.
I take great pride in the fact of being an Iowa Stater, and I think that's the other thing they brought is recognition for this program. We sat so far down in the wings for many, many years. Not, I would say, minimal respect from a lot of people across the country. But they brought this team to the spotlight, basically. And it shows. Recruiting has improved so much. These young stars want to play at Iowa State. And they know that Matt Campbell is going to make them that much better. That if they have any future plans for playing in the next league, so to speak, this is one of the places you come to.
Yeah, and as an apples and oranges comparison, I mean, what Dan McCarty did was incredible. After the program had been down so long, and to get them to the level of a Big 12 North, you know, championship on the door many times that as well, and you know, a 9-win season, which that hadn't happened, and then finally a couple seasons ago, Campbell got them to that. Apples and oranges because McCartney didn't have the facilities, but he also had two divisions.
Yeah.
So in the north, you know, you and different era.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he sustained it for a while, went down, brought it up again, went down. That was the nature of what it would be like at Iowa State, it seemed like. Now we're finding out if 5 years can be 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on and on and on. And that's... I always say this, and I've probably maybe said it on the show before. What Campbell has done is brought the program to the point where you never go into the stadium saying they're going to lose.
Yeah, that's
even
true.
9-3 McCartney, they got thumped a couple times.
Yeah,
and even like Oklahoma, K-State. I mean,
and Rob, even in third quarter and they're behind by a ways, you still don't think they're going to lose. They're come behind wonders in some games.
Yeah,
you have to believe in the program. And what do you expect out of today's games? Let's get a little insight here. Air game? Run game?
I think they would love it if Jirell Brock got 15 or so carries. Eli Sanders, Deion Silas, Cartavius Norton got anywhere from 3 to 4 apiece. Hunter Deckers ran it a few times, and they took their shots to Xavier Hutchinson every now and then. Jalen Noel, maybe... You know, Dimitri Stanley / Darren Wilson, but a run-heavy game, I would think. If again, you've got the scholarship differential, you've got what should be built-up depth. Obviously, they're, I assume, missing Jake Remsburg on the offensive line, but they've got a group that they feel like can provide some depth. They're actually going to be able to play at least a tackle instead of last season where it was mostly shifting guards around. I expect them, again, if they're who we think they are, to be able to impose their will in the trenches. And who knows what the score is. Vegas pegged it anywhere between 34 and 38 points, I saw. Oh. That's a big number for Iowa State in any game. But as some people often say, and they're really right, Vegas usually knows something.
Yeah.
I don't think the score will matter. I think how they look. How they execute? Do they have special teams mistakes? Do they, you know, the things that have really bit them, are those cleaned up at least in the season opener? That would be obviously very propitious for Iowa State.
There's a little national respect in there with that high number from Vegas. You know, that's what we've been talking about. Matt Campbell
you know, 7-5 is kind of what we will all tolerate now, and we want to go better than that each year. So, yeah, SEMO may be down a little bit with all these newcomers, but that number is very high, like Rob mentioned, for Iowa State. Yeah, that's for the bettors out there, but they usually do know kind of what they're talking about. They put a lot of analytics into their numbers.
I hear they win more than they lose. Yeah. I don't know. Is that a rumor, you think?
I don't think they'd be in business anymore if they did.
And they're well in business, that's for sure. I'm interested. I don't want to jump past SEMO, and I don't think, and that's one of the things I'm sure the players aren't going to do. They're not going to overlook SEMO. But obviously on the horizon is the annual big game, as we all here in Iowa think. I don't know if all people outside Iowa think it's that big, but we do. How do you think that matchup will go? I don't want to jump too much into it, but a close matchup, do you think?
They pretty much have been, except for Campbell's first season when they just got throttled after. Yeah. I mean, and then Campbell let them have it.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I mean, I think that was a line in the sand kind of thing. Of felt that there were some people in the program that would tolerate mediocrity and just coast along with it. And after that, you saw some guys not play anymore, and they weren't in the program anymore pretty quick. But it's been close. Iowa State is, in my opinion, just done some baffling things in a few of the recent matchups. And obviously then you have the one-point loss here where Detrone Young's trying to block a guy in punt coverage, and he ends up hitting Deshante Jones, and the ball, you have the chance to put the ball in Brock Purdy's hands, go and win the football game, and instead it's out of bounds, game over.
Yeah.
So a lot of bad luck in this game. Only team played on an annual basis Coach Campbell hasn't beat. I mean, for them to beat Oklahoma twice.
Yeah.
I mean, which was the giant, you know, you had to slay, the Goliath. It's going to be tough. I mean, Iowa's got a great defense. So I think, if you want the offense to execute really well and not have to resort to anything outside the first couple pages of the playbook. It should be a really, really fun matchup where points may be hard to come by, as they have been in a lot of the Cy-Hawk games.
And we'll talk
years.
About this next week, but you know, the last five wins for Iowa, they've had no turnovers in that game, and that's a big deal right there. And that's Kirk Ferentz, and you know the way he coaches. They're sound, they're disciplined, they always play great defense. Yeah, and they get a lot of complaints about their boring offense, you know, but they win 8, 9, 10 games every year, and in this series, they take care of the ball and control the line of scrimmage, and we've had some mistakes that have cost us. So we got to, you know, work on that, and we'll talk about that next week.
Well, I can tell you this much, that, you know, they accuse us of putting too much importance on this game, and I think maybe sometimes rightfully so, because once this game is done, whoever loses wants to forget it, and whoever wins doesn't want to make a big deal out of it unless it's to somebody from that school. And there's so much more season than this one game, but I'm looking forward to it. The adrenaline will be flowing, and it'll be a good one. But we got to get past Southeast Missouri State today, and what seems like a very simple chore just scares the dickens out of me.
Well, it shouldn't, but based on recent history, there's a lot of things. I mean, you even throw in weird games like the Ice Bowl game where they decided to make up for the South Dakota State lightninged out season opener, and they just said, oh, well, we could Jamie Pollard arranged a game against Drake, a team utterly outmanned by Iowa State, but a team who you win that game by 1 point. Drake has the ball at the end. You know, it turned into kind of a weird sort of black eye heading into the Fiesta
Bowl. You know what I say, Rob? I say Iowa State's inspirational to other teams. I really think they are. I just, and I think some of that comes out of our past where, you know, nobody expected too much out of it. I mean, our way past never expected too much out of us, and I think they always considered us a Division I beatable team.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get somebody, get Iowa State, you may have a shot. I don't think it's that way anymore. I think we got past that.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Well, we want you to enjoy the game. We've enjoyed talking to you today. Hope to see you down the road. We'll talk again. Thanks, Rob.
For sure. Great to talk to you guys.
All right. Rob Gray, of course, with Cedar Rapids Gazette, giving us some insight, and we appreciate every bit of it. We need to take a break, and you are listening to Mel Crippen and Judge Johnston on the Cyclone Tailgate Show on 1430 KASI.
Prion may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com. Or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Mel in the morning. Judge Johnston here on the Cyclone Tailgate Show from the alumni. Excuse me. Never take a drink of Coke just before you go on the air there. But anyway, from the Alumni Center, we're on the third floor overlooking the tailgate parking lot, which, once again, is impressive. I've got to say that the band is getting ready.
The team has rolled in. Mel, the buses have started the Spirit Walk over there. You know, so they've unloaded, and so it's good to see those guys here. And we're about 2 hours and a couple minutes out.
Yeah, this is as a former player. How hyped are you at this time?
Oh, it's really it's cool. You know, you leave the hotel locally and you come in on those buses, and you see all the, you know, the color and the pageantry of it, and you've got probably your earbuds in and your music that you like, and you know, you've been practicing for what, 4 or 5 weeks, and just long, hot August.
Go. Right?
What's that?
It's time. Let's go.
It's time, yeah. And so you're ready to face an opponent. You're ready to play in front of 60,000 people and start the season. You get 12 chances.
Yeah.
And you put in a lot of work for 12 chances, and you got to take advantage of them.
If you're SEMO, you come in. I'm just going to guess their stadium is probably not quite that big. And I'm strictly ballparking this, maybe 12, 14,000 people.
Yeah, it's a much smaller stadium.
So are they ready for the thunderous Cyclone fans?
Yeah, we'll see. This is their big, big marquee game, because I looked at the rest of their schedule, and they have a couple of games that I think they feel are cupcakes for them in weeks 2 and 3. You know, so this is their chance to come in and on, you know, an ESPN Plus platform and 60,000 people, you know, shock the world is what they're probably being told they can do.
See, I've never had the opportunity that you had. Obviously, I played for a lesser team, or not a lesser team, but at least a lesser conference. And we held about 12, 14,000 people in our stadium. And I know the kick it gave me, even just in that few, that you're going to get out there and show your stuff. You know. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. But it's not the only Big 12 game I heard today.
Well, yeah, there's about 5 or 6 other games. But, Mel, there's already been 4 Big 12 games played, you know, due to this long opening, you know, weekend in the college season. You know, TCU really thumped Colorado last night, and so that was on the road. And that tells me TCU is a team to be reckoned with. They're back,
yeah.
I think. They always have great talent down there. And Colorado is no pushover, you know.
No, it's gotten better.
They're better, and Kansas put a wallop on Tennessee Tech last night. Now, it's Tennessee Tech. It's Kansas scoring 56 points, but Kansas had their biggest crowd in a long time for an opener. And Lance Leipold, I believe is how you say his last name, he's inching that program forward. And as an Iowa State fan, you don't want Kansas to ever get better. You know, that's always one you want to just count on as an automatic win. But
I just like I like Kansas to get better against our opponents.
Yeah. But you know, upset
don't,
the Texas.
Don't do it with us.
People like that,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing progress there. You know, that West Virginia loss to Pittsburgh, you know, that's a backyard battle. Those two teams do not like each other, and it was a close game. And Oklahoma State beat a really good Central Michigan team, and, you know, some people are talking about giving up 44 points to Central Michigan, but Central Michigan is pegged to win their conference. They're really good.
They're very good.
Jim McElwain, who's been at Florida and, I believe, Colorado State. So they're, you know, they're expected to do well. But rest of the games today, Mel, they're what we have here. They're cupcake type of games for the rest of the Big 12 teams.
I'm going to say, I kind of get your opinion. How do you think we're going to do in the Big 12? I mean, where do you see us finishing?
Me personally, I see us in that 7-5, 8-4, you know, and probably in that, I would hope we're kind of in that 3 spot, probably 4 or 5 spot, you know, when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. I think the Big 12 is going to be darn competitive again. You know, West Virginia is supposed to be better, and they showed that against a really good ranked Pittsburgh team. TCU, what we just talked about. Kansas State has got a lot of people back, and I think their quarterback transfer is going to do a great job for them. Kansas State's always a thorn on our side.
Kansas still the basement team?
Yeah, but, you know, we got to go play down there this year. And, you know, you can't take Kansas lightly, you know, anymore.
Well, you couldn't take them lightly here years ago.
No,
but,
you know.
But I will say this much about it. That's another team you don't want to overlook. They play inspired football.
Yeah, and then you've got the traditional heavyweights. Baylor is supposed to be just really good again this year, and Dave Aranda's doing a great job down there. And Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's going to be better with Venables. I think he's more disciplined. I mean, he's just got a collection of athletes that I think if
they just want to beat the crap out of us. That's when Oklahoma,
you know, and then Okie State's
vendetta going.
Got a lot of people back, so it's going to be a tough road here for once the Big 12 season starts.
It's going to be an exciting year. That's the thing I like. And we're going to keep you informed and excited each week, 4 hours before the game. All the home games we'll be doing right here from the Alumni Center on the third floor. And looking forward to it. Got some great guests that will be lined up. Next week, I am, like, really excited. I am, and like I say, I'm not overlooking SEMO today. It's the first game of the year, and my expectations are high, but some of these games, these first games, just give me the jitters.
Yeah, it's football season, and got a little cool air in the weather out there, so I'm ready to go for a fun football season.
It's a game. It's a game, and you never know how a game's going to turn out. You can expect certain things, but other things happen. I think the main thing you always like on these first games is to come out of the game with a victory, but not only a victory, but no injuries.
Yeah, injuries lacking, and then confidence. Let's get this thing going and feel good about their week of preparation heading into a big game next week.
Sounds great. Judge, as always, thank you so much for being here
today.
It's been fun. I'm looking forward to a good season with you.
Thank you.